You blessed? You ready? You staying ready? God is on the move. He's on the move. Can we move with him? The Bible said that when the presence of God was moving and leading the Israelites would follow after God by the cloud or by the fire. They would follow. And if the cloud or the fire did not move, they didn't move. So we've got to make sure that we're watching after God and following after God and not following after our own desires. Understand? The Bible says that he gives you the desires of your heart. The key is discerning whether it's your desire, his desire, or the enemy's desire. Sometimes you say, well, God told me to do this, and then you don't see the fruit of it. Well, was it really God? But we blame God. Well, God told me to do this, and it didn't work out. Was it God? Was it God? God's intention is to bless you and to keep you blessed, to give you a brighter future. And for some people in the church today, and I'm talking in generalities, they feel, and I keep feeling this, is that they feel like they can't get past where they're at. They've kind of hit a pothole, if you would, in the road that they just kind of it detours them or gets them stuck where they're at. We were driving back from dropping off the kids, Joseph and them at College Station, and there was this 18-wheeler that was backing up. And where he was backing up, there was a big, big mud hole. And the only wheels that were turning were the ones that were in the mud, so the 18-wheeler couldn't move anywhere. That's a big old rig. Have you ever seen big old 18-wheelers come by? Just them passing by moves your car, doesn't it? Some of y'all even get scared, like, oh, y'all hold on so tight to that steering wheel, like, y'all never prayed somebody. They're so big. But even the little bit of mud on this most powerful rig that I've seen, it can stop it right in its track. And all the other tires were on solid ground except the one that had the power to move it. Have you ever felt that way? You know you're sure-footed on what God told you to do in every area of your life, but the one that's moving you, which is your faith, it's just spinning. It's just spinning, ain't doing nothing, just burning gas, just spinning. Spinning and spinning and spinning. Everything else is just steady, stagnant, not moving. But you're exerting a lot of energy, but that don't mean you're getting anywhere, right? And that's kind of how I see the body of Christ at times, is they start moving forward, but yet something gets in the way that doesn't give them a sure-footed ground. And what happens is they begin to just spin and spin and spin and spin, and nothing takes root. The word of God goes forth. You receive it. Like, amen, I got it. You got the goosebumps. You got the chills. You boo-hooed. You shouted. You left here, and you still don't see the results. Have we been there? Are we there, or some of us already transitioned out of that? Because if you've transitioned out of it, please let me know. Are we spinning? Are we spinning? Well, I have a table before you that I'm going to show you in this message, the Trinity of David's life. David's life. You know King David? You know that one, David? He's in the Bible. That David? It's a good book. Isn't that right? You can read it, and it's the only book that I've ever read that changes. It's alive. Now I can read a novel, it doesn't move, it doesn't change, it stays the same. But why is it that the Bible begins to minister to you differently in the same scripture many different times over? You know, I used to be scared that, okay, I'm gonna pastor a church and I've got to preach the Bible. There's not that much to preach on in the Bible. Well, can you read this again and watch? And that's what happened. I was going to talk to you about sacrifice. Wednesday night, I began to teach on the yes God. Yes God. And God says, stop right there. Don't go into the sacrifice yet. So if you want to know about the sacrifice, come on Wednesday. Today, I'm going to tell you about the Trinity of David in his life, or what he used in his life that we can be using the same tools that are going to help us in our situation. Don't come and tell me something that sounds good, feels good, but don't do me any good. Come on now, can we wake up? Did y'all not get coffee? Liz, did you make caffeine-free or caffeine? We need to wake up. We need to. Do I need to have the drums going again? And just wake y'all up. We need to be ready. Go ahead and lift it up and turn that off. I want you, if you would, please get in your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel 16, please. 1 Samuel 16. And when you're there, say amen. Y'all are so fast. So fast. The Lord told me you were going to preach on that, Pastor, so I was ready. I knew you were going to go there. See, we connected that way. For you visitors that are here for the first time, I welcome you. Make sure I get to meet you after church today. Just want to hug on you, know you just a little bit. Whether you come back again or not, your family in the kingdom of God, so your family here as well. Amen. You're always welcome here to the church. 1 Samuel 16, and let me begin to kind of set the stage here. Samuel is the prophet that is anointed of God to speak for the behalf of Israel. Israel had been crying out for a king because there was no king. God originally wanted to be their king. Just like most of us, we need to be able to go to somebody. Jeff, I need to be able to come to you and talk to you, Jeff. I need a king in my life that I can see, not a God that I can't see. Because when I pray, I don't know if he's really listening. I may have the wrong number. I need someone that I can see, someone that I could go to if there's problems, somebody I know that's going to fight for me. You see, we as Christians, we have a tendency to think that the king that we serve has to be able to fight for us. But what is it? What if God is telling you, you need to learn how to fight? If I keep fighting your battles for you, when are you ever going to learn to fight? If I keep doing everything for you and enable you to be just a baby, you're never going to grow. If you stayed on baby food right now, y'all would be going through a lot of jars because you'd be very, very hungry. Because some of the nutrients that are in the baby food is not for your adult body. It's only so that it can go through the baby's body because it can begin to work on its digestive system and it's not too harsh. Some things we want to have the applesauce of the gospel and not get the meat of the gospel. Because the applesauce will come in real tasty and nice, but it ain't going to fill you up. It's going to pass right through you. Some of y'all know about talking about babies and love diapers, or the ones that you make sure that it's secure inside, and then you know that it's the devil that came out when you changed the baby's diaper. Because some of these things are bad. And you wonder how that came out of that beautiful, precious little baby. Kind of like us Christians, how did that come out of your mouth? How did you act like that when you already have the goodness of God in you? So y'all just got rebuked and didn't know it. So did I. I get rebuked when I get my messages because God is talking to me too. And he said, son, you've been eating and eating and eating. That's why I'm going to stand behind my pulpit and not move too much because I got to hide the stomach. I'm just kidding. But you've been eating and eating, but what are the people seeing that's coming out of you? Do you see what I mean? Those are the fruits. What you eat does not defile you. It's what comes out of you that defiles you. Now, this can be a teaching sermon or this can be a preaching sermon. It depends on which way the Holy Spirit wants to lead me to go in. But I want to begin reading this to you. As the people cried out for a king, Samuel anoints Saul to be king. Well, after going on with this king for so long, they said, I don't want that brother no more. You know how you usually choose people that you think are the ones that you're leading, that they're leading you in the right direction, come to find out they're leading you away from God? Then they say, well, we don't want him after all. Like, you can pick and choose who your king is. But here's the beautiful thing that I found out about God is that he allowed them to have a king when originally he was their king. Now, when you let God be your king and he leads you, you see miracles. You know, like the shoes that I had to buy for the kids this year? They grown. They have grown. Even their clothes, they have grown. But it was very interesting, as the Israelites were coming out of bondage, that none of their shoes wore out, nor their clothes, and they were in the wilderness for 40 years. That none of the things wore out. They didn't outgrow it, but they grew. Some things that God has given you for provision, if you stay in God, they'll grow with you. But when you get out of God's will, that's when you outgrow the provision. So now Samuel is dealing with God concerning Saul. Here we are in chapter 16 of Samuel in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." But Samuel said, "How can I go when Saul hears of it? He will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you. Say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do and who you shall anoint for me, the one whom I designate to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace? Do you come in peace?" You know that this is the prophet of God, and you see the prophet of God coming, and then the people are going to ask, "Do you come in peace?" Doesn't that kind of strike you kind of odd? Do you come in peace? God is coming, but he's coming to give a change of the guard. But it didn't take place right away. Now, what did he tell him? He told him, he said, look, prophet, "Prophet, how long are you going to grieve over the one I rejected? Has God ever given you something and you feel like, if I don't keep praying over this thing and I don't keep doing this and doing that, it's just never going to come to pass?" How many feel that way sometimes? Now watch this. Did not God allow them to have Saul as king? So the one that had to do the anointing had to be Samuel the prophet. So Samuel's witnessing that God is already saying, "I've already rejected this one." And Samuel's crying over the one that was been rejected. My question to you is, how long are you going to let the things die that need to die? Or are you going to keep trying to feed it something that is not going to survive? Do you have issues in your life that you keep feeding with your fear? We start feeding things to see if we can just keep it alive. And I'll just kind of give me an example. Minister Allen will understand this one. Like, when we know that God said to go, drive all the way. Drive all the way to Columbus, Ohio. Drive all the way. Leave your family, leave your home, leave your kids. And drive all the way over there on a whim that God is going to bless us. Because we're going to do some roofs, and we're going to do some construction work, and we're going to get blessed. Because I prayed in a parking lot whether or not to go, and I saw a roofing truck, so I'm going to go. Some of us will look for the darndest kind of, sign. "God, that was you. You showed the roofing truck. That was for me to go, so we're going to go." Drive all the way up there. It wasn't God. The enemy had a way of making it look like it was God. Watch what comes out of it. Because God knew what I was going to do. God even knew how he was going to get a hold of me. So we go all the way to Columbus, Ohio, trying to do something, and we're trying to make it work. Knowing that I'm afraid of heights, I'm going to go up on roofs. So when we first get there, we see these roofs. They're one stories. I got this. They're one-story roofs. We can do this. Ain't that right, Alan? We can do this one-story roofs. We didn't do it. It snows. I can't do that. We can't get no contracts, can't get nothing working, can't get nothing going. I'm missing home, I'm missing cooking, I'm missing my kids. So I stayed 2 weeks. I'm gonna gotta get back. I gotta do this other project for this other hotel. So I come home. There's a storm hits Dallas. All kinds of tornadoes hit, and me and my wife are sitting in the parking lot and we're praying. I go to Dallas. Babe, let's touch and agree, babe. Let's just touch and agree, babe. Let's do it the Bible, so we're gonna touch and agree. If it's your will, God, give us a sign. Open our eyes and we see a roofing truck. This is it. This confirmation, right, babe? It's confirmation. You're going to go, right? I'm going to go. I'm going to go. So I go to Dallas all by myself, driving on. What am I looking for? Roofs. Happen to go to an area that are all two-story homes. The roofs aren't flat. They're like that. So I call Alan and the partner, and I said, you know, big storms come through here. Y'all need to meet me down here in Dallas. I think they packed up the apartment in less than 2 hours, and they were on the road from Columbus, Ohio. They made it straight to Dallas. I have never climbed so many ladders and so many roofs, so scared in my life. It got me so close to God. I prayed more than I had ever prayed before. I was so scared that Alan would look at me and he would take pictures of me laughing because you could see my toes through my boots trying to grab hold of something. I was so scared, thinking this is God. No, this is truly God. We're praying, we're fasting, we're doing everything we can to make this thing work. Sitting there in the apartment complex, my dad looks at me, Alan looks at me, he says, I think you're Jonah. No, Popo, I love you, but I'm not Jonah. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. God gave me a sign. It's a roofing truck right there. I'm holding on to that. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. I come home, my wife says, are you sure God said? You were with me when we prayed in the truck, and we saw that roofing truck. That was a sign. Isn't it funny how when you want to see a sign, you'll find a sign? And you believe that that's God? That's kind of how Samuel said, wait a minute. You chose Saul. You did. You told me to anoint him as king. And now you're telling me you rejected him. And now you're telling me to go to Jesse's house and go anoint another one. So he goes, and people are watching. They see the prophet come, and then they call this big old, you know, barbecue, if you would, and they come over. And then everybody is looking at the one that is strong and built and ready, looking good. Now, that's a good king because the way he looks. I said, no, I rejected that one too. And then he says, is there not another? The one that was forgotten was out in the field. David comes in. The first thing of the Trinity is, if you would, can I see your horn? Where's your horn? Is the horn of oil. And I know this is a shofar. But their horn of oil. Oh, I saw it. You have one. You have a small one? Can I see your small one? Before I put it somewhere to fall. So small. Perfect. Excuse me. Okay. The horn of oil. Now listen. Instructs Samuel, let go of all that crying and, you know, boo-hooing and all that over the king, because I've already rejected him. So today, you're going to let go of the things that God has rejected, right? Hello? Yeah. Today, you're going to let go of all the things that God has rejected. Yeah, you're letting go, right? Because God has something else in store for you. He has a king that will rule over you, but not with an iron scepter, but he will rule over with you with the heart of God. Because David had the heart of God, because he was after God's own heart. So he instructs the prophet Samuel, fill your horn with oil and take it to the house of Jesse and bless the one that I tell you to bless and anoint to be king over Israel. Samuel then goes and does what he's instructed. The thing about the oil, it's always representative as the anointing, the power in which Jesus was raised from the dead, the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And also represents joy. It represents joy. So then he's waiting, and all they go through, you know how we do things, we look with our eyes to see which one looks right for the job. Remember, I started this series earlier about the voice. How the judges are turned around. They can only go by what they hear, not by what they see. And what happens in Christendom, we have people that are always watching to see if you're a real Christian or not. By the way you dress, the way you act, what have you. But it's always internal. Internal. So then when he comes, they say, nope, not that one, not that one, not that one. Can you imagine the Jesse, the father of David, saying, wait a minute, this is the firstborn son. If God sent you, he's got to be the one. So you go through all those things, like, it should have been this one. Matter of fact, but the one that got rejected, or the one that they didn't want to bring, is David out there in the field. So here's David's trinity begins now, is the oil. It's filled with oil. And so what he does to David is he comes and he anoints him with the power of the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord. And empties it over his head. Your oil is your anointing, your joy. The first key in the elements that you need on how to make change in your life is to understand the anointing is what destroys the yoke. The power of God that destroys the yoke. And that anointing that is poured over your life is being used as the, like the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus coming out of the baptism of the Jordan. It's indicative as a sign that I have chosen you. So the oil is the anointing that God has used and selected to make a choice for the one that he's called to be in position, right? So David's first of the Trinity is the oil was poured on him. It was a calling. It was something to signify that you are the one that I'm going to use. The second thing, if you read on in this chapter, is after he does that, in 1 Samuel 16, you will see that as time goes on, David begins to learn as he's doing the job of a shepherd. He's learning how to shepherd the sheep. He's out there, and through the midst of that, he has killed the bears, killed the lion. He's done all these things, but he hasn't become king just yet. But then hasn't God said that you will be king? How many of us get a little frustrated when God says, but yet you don't see it happen yet? Now y'all, some of y'all are like, Pastor, you've been talking about being blessed, and I ain't blessed yet. Nothing come through, just bills, different colors. And you know, it's funny how they don't even want to send it to you in the mail. They want to do it all through the internet. And it's the internet company that's going to get cut off. And, well, we sent you the statement, hello, you turned off my internet. Well, if you would go to www, how can I go there if you turned it off? You understand? Would you like to make a payment online? Maybe the first 300 times that I've talked to you, you haven't understood. You turned my internet off. And then as you're saying it, you're thinking, hey, that's my fault, not their fault. I didn't make the payment. I'm getting mad at them. Right? You're getting real frustrated. But I got the money now. But you didn't have it for the past 3 months. Come on, come on. Y'all, yeah, I know, y'all. Your halos, they're bright. But some things happen. David knew about the oil. But the other thing he also knew, as you read on in the story, First Samuel 16, it goes on. David also knew about the ephod. Now, this is an ephod that we see. The ephod represented a covering. A covering that when, you remember this, the series I did on your cave time? In your cave? All right. 3 days, David and his men went to go fight the Philistines. And while they were gone from Ziklag, the Amalekites came in and they destroyed their camp. Took all their wives, their children, took them all, took them away. His men got mad at him. Now, these are the men that were with him in the cave, they're with him throughout this whole time. He's starting to see that God has chosen him, but he's not king yet. How many battles have you been in that people are watching and saying, God anointed you, but I don't see it that you're in that position just yet. Mm-hmm. He called me to international ministry, but you're still local. Called me to raise the dead. Ain't no dead raised. Heal the sick, and you ain't prayed for nobody. Come on, come on. Because we go through the motions of church. As I was coming here this morning, I'm looking out at the playground out there, and a great reward for our diligence and our faithfulness. We got the playground debt free. And it was a wonderful thing. The most volunteers I've ever seen out there, all in red. It looked beautiful for this barbecue. And I had a sense like we're moving. And I'm looking out there this morning as I pull around the back, and I'm looking at it. I said, God, we're moving, aren't we? And I could just feel it. We're moving. That, who said that? Yeah, moving where? Moving where? I said, God, if we're moving, yeah, y'all know what that is? Yeah, y'all thinking, oh, that's money. No, that's just rubbing the two pennies that you have together. I took my son to College Station and got him moved in, him and his friends, and I was so beat, just tired. And he's only moving in to his own room, not the whole apartment, just his own room. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I know what it costs to move him. And you're saying, we're moving. This is this morning. We're moving. Oh, I got the wrong number? Watch this, watch this. From the last time they talked to me, let me star 69. See if I can get them right back. Or let me hit redial so it can come back. Right? Because, you know, can't pay bill with my looks. You owe me, son. Okay. So now they plundered and they've taken all of the wives of the men and the children. They didn't kill them. They took them. So the men now are looking at David like, we're going to kill you now. This is what David does. If you read on in the Bible, it's real good. Read it. He takes an ephod. This is what he does. He encourages himself in God. Now, the tallit is representative of your closet. Okay? What is done in secret will be revealed in the public square. If you don't have a prayer life, it will be revealed in the public square. But if you have a prayer life, guess what else will be revealed? Out. The anointing. The anointing. Can we stay covered and stay under the covering of God? The second part of David's Trinity is the covering. You read through the passages that David knew not to touch God's anointed. Did you see that throughout Scripture? He never touched Saul when he had every opportunity to touch Saul. He had every opportunity to put his hands on Saul, but he never did. He understood what God has blessed, no man can curse. Talked about that. We also talked about the fact that God made it a point to show how good it is to be under the covering of the king, even if the king has been rejected. Or did we miss it? Do we need? I don't want to have to read to you. You guys can read. He still followed after Saul, never touched him, even when Saul was taking the people and leading them away from God. The second of the Trinity is the covering. Stay under the covering. Stay under the covering. For you, that would be stay under the house that God has called you to be under. If I can tell my parents and I can tell my wife, if I'm not your pastor, don't come here. My cousins are in the room. If I'm not your pastor, don't come here. You go where you hear your shepherd's voice. And if you're here out of convenience because, my house is just around the corner, baby. There's a lot of churches just around the corner. And there's a lot of churches that are just around the corner. And we're going to be just around the corner to some people somewhere else. And I know what God is putting in my spirit. I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't. But I can believe what he said. I chose you, Marty. I chose you. Man didn't call you. Actually, man rejected you. Some people know me from school. Boy, I was rejected. But I do know this, that when he calls you, and when people come against you, when you stay under the covering of the call, and you take time to encourage yourself in prayer, the covering will always protect you, always keep you. Even when you feel like you can't do it, he's going to keep you. Because the anointing oil, which is the power, and the joy of the Lord, and through prayer, spending time alone with God, you're going to see some things that are going to change. And in that change, this is what David said when he began to pray. Just in 1 Samuel, you see the Trinity. He goes in prayer before God, and he asks God, shall I pursue? Should I go up and pursue the Amalekites? I'm just telling you a story that's in the Bible that you could read and you can have an understanding of. But let me tell you that David was a mighty man. He was a warrior. He was a warrior. And as a warrior, what do warriors do? They fight. It could have been very easy for David to stand up and just go because he was a warrior, right? But what he did what we all need to learn to do is to go before God first. Take time in prayer to find out what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, and if you're supposed to do it. One thing that he knew, though, is that he was already selected by God. God already said, you're the next king of Israel. Even though he goes through the whole scenario like, well, the king has a son, the son's going to be the next in line, which happens to be my best friend and my confidant, the one that I love the most. That, watch this, y'all probably not going to realize this, that David even says, when his armor bearer dies, he says, this is whom I love the most before and most than any woman. Than any woman. Okay, you probably wouldn't understand that, but let me help you. David was known to have a lot of women. Jonathan was next in line. He was next in line. Jonathan takes off the ring and the robe and gives it to David. They develop a relationship that was so close, so tight, that when he dies, David is crying. He says, the one I love more than a woman. Do you know that when David died, before David died, you know what they put in the bed with him? A young virgin to see if he'd respond. Oh, yeah, some of y'all are like, oh, I got Viagra. I'll do it. Shut your mouth. Oh, it's real. It's real. Y'all think, no, y'all read the Bible like it's like, oh, that's a cute story. Like it's an Easter bunny thing, you know? You have to know the nature of the person that you're reading about to have an understanding of who they are. David was about women, war. He knew how to fight. He knew how to look at a woman and say, you're mine, and they became his. And if you said no, he'd make a way to get you that in his bed. He was the Richard Gere of old, you know? The American Gigolo of the Bible. Did he just, you remember that movie, American Gigolo, when he starts laying out the suits on his bed? I was like, dang, that's me, maybe. I'm going to put suits all over the place. Which one am I wearing today? And then everything just nice and organized. I was like, God, what I got to do? He got money. I don't pick out my suits like that instead of the same one. Different shirt, different tie. Same shirt, just different tie. Same suit. Let me get back. You got to know who David is. His men knew this about him. His men knew that this was a fighter. But what they saw him do was different than what they expected him to do, is he got down on his knees and he prayed before the Lord, shall I go up? Shall I go and retrieve? Shall I go to war? Before he picked up his sword, he picked up his covering. So then once he gets the covering on and he goes and makes himself vulnerable, remember, the people want to kill him. Can you hold that, man? Just hold it. Oscar, can you come here, please? Can you kneel right here? Face me. Thank you, sir. Now, if you knew the people, your men wanted to kill you, they want to kill you because while you were out fighting the Philistines and we followed you and we went with you to fight against these people, but yet we left our family here alone and they were taken away, they were taken captive, and we're going to kill you. This is what he does. He made himself vulnerable to the ones that wanted to kill him. Do you see Jesus there? Do you see Jesus there? They wanted to kill Jesus. What did Jesus do? Here I am. Why? Because he knew the plan. Jesus knew the plan. I got to get to the cross. But the cross wasn't the final destination. The final destination was to be resurrected to now go sit at the Father's seat. David knew he would be king someday. You feel it, don't you, sir? You feel it. We had to learn to be under the covering. Regardless of what everybody else says around them. And regardless of the threats all around them. Regardless if they wanted to kill him. He's more vulnerable now to be killed right now. Right now. But when you're in the presence of God under the covering, God will keep your enemies at bay. But guess who his enemy was? The one that was fighting with him to gain victories were the ones that turned against him. Have you ever had people to turn against you just because you're doing what God told you to do? You're doing what God told you to do, and people are now coming against you. But you're doing what God said. You're doing what God said. Now you got all kinds of people that used to hang with you, used to pray with you, used to fast with you, used to go to church with you, used to be able to go hang out together and go to Chacho's after work or something. But now they want to come against you. But yet God is telling you, get on your knees. Get before me in front of them and watch what I will do. Then he asks, shall I pursue? And when he gets the orders, come up with your sword, sir. Now watch. He's ready for battle now. Because he first had the oil. He had the oil from the horn. He had prayer, the covering. Lift your sword. What changed? That was always him. What changed that he can turn to the ones that wanted to kill him? Say, who's going with me? And they said, we'll go. What changed? Say it again. Humility. Before God, under the covering of the Holy Spirit, the oil, they knew him as a fighter. They knew him as a fighter, but they did not know the heart of David and how to be humble before God, so that God would give him victory even when he had lost everything. How many of you have lost everything and no one wants to encourage you, but you got to find ways to encourage yourself? Huh? And even the ones that used to pray with you and the ones that used to stand with you and the ones that are coming against you, and God makes you turn to them and say, are you ready to go fight with me? Because under that humility, they said, we will go. But watch, if you read the story, 400 of them. And there was another number that did not go because they were tired. We're tired. I was up all night last night watching Jay Leno, whatever. David didn't get mad. What gets me, though, that's their wives and their children that were taken, but they're too tired to go fight. Watch this, watch this. Here's what I'm trying to get at here. I'm telling you, the scripture speaks. I've read that story many a time. I just preached on it not too long ago. How many times have you had people as your covering, as your spiritual fathers, that no longer want to go and retrieve you from the things that have taken you out of God? That's those men that stayed behind because they were tired of fighting. But they were saying, you know what, y'all go fight, we'll just stay here. What was there? Nothing. Ruins. Because it had been burnt down. And there's pastors, there's leaders in churches that don't want to fight for their people anymore. They're more interested in what they're going to get in return. But the ones that went with David, went and fought against the Amalekites, got all their stuff, took every single child and every single wife that was taken away, and took more. Watch this, hear me. Took more than what was taken, and he brought it back to the camp. Watch the heart of David, because of the Trinity in his life. He even gives back the wives, the children, and everything back, even to the ones that didn't want to go and fight with him. A true leader knows that maybe it's best if you do stay, so that there's something that the women can come back to give hope to. And there's some leaders that are in the church that have fallen bad. But they've got to know that there's people standing in the gap for them that are going to stand there and give you hope again to want to stand and rise up to fight another battle. Some things you're going to have to fight for, and you're not going to quit because God spoke it first. He didn't just do it. He spoke it. He said, I have anointed you to be king over Israel when he was a child. Had the prophecy come to pass yet? No. But in the midst of the battles that he was fighting, even his own men were coming against him, he still went and sought God first and fought against the enemy. Watch this. I preached on this before. He didn't go get the crown. The crown was brought to him. That's it. The Trinity is very important in your life. Your anointing, your call, your covering, and your sword. Now, we all know what the sword really is, guys. It's your Bible. It's your prophetic word that came before the oil was poured on. Your prophetic word is what's going to get you through the times that you're going through. If God said it, he's going to watch it to perform. You have a responsibility. Stay under the covering. Get humble before God. Get humble before God so that people around you can see your true humility in your heart that will stand with you in the fight and not come against you no longer to fight you, but they'll fight with you against your enemy. It's no longer the sword. It's the real sword. Have you ever had people come against you? They may be talking about you right now. Yeah, because this is the last weekend before the kids go back to school. We wanted to go on vacation, but he said, no, I got to go to church. Why are you always going to church, spending so much time in church? You know the kids, it's the last day of vacation, but they've had enough vacation. So have you. Get to church. Amen. Oh, but I have my own relationship with God. Don't come to find my God then. Find your God. And he'll know how to get your God to you. Your word is your sword. Your covering is him. And the leaders he's placed over your life. Amen. That with the call and the anointing will bring about change and victory in your life. Some things, yes, you do fight for. And you don't quit. You don't quit because you got to know whether or not God spoke it. Did God speak it? Amen. So if he spoke it, it's going to happen. Yes. Even through all the trials you go through, it's going to happen. Yes, Lord. Even if you get tired of holding the sword and fighting all by yourself, it's going to happen. Even if he moves you out of one place and puts you into another place, it's going to happen. Even if you feel like you're standing alone in the midst of your enemies, it's going to happen. The Trinity is working on your behalf, which is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Works with you, not against you, to get you the promises that he said to you. He said it. He is not a man that shall lie or God that shall repent. He watches his word till it's performed, until it comes to pass. Every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God shall not return void unto him. It shall accomplish what it was set out to do. If you feel like things are just not happening, learn to pray. Learn to get down and to stay under the hand of God. Learn how to just stay praying and seeking and fasting and staying put with what God said for you to do. Even when the one that you're standing and praying for doesn't want to serve the God that you love. Some of the things you have to do by yourself. Even when your family says no. Even when your loved ones say you're crazy. Even when the ones that wish to be right there with you say, I'm with you, I got your back. They're no longer there. You may be alone, but in the victory you bring the spoils, even for the ones that came against you. Because what he says is bless your enemies. Bless them. What do you think the enemy's going to do when you come and say, baby, I know you came against me. I know you talked about me. I know you lied about me, but I want to bless you. You are just displaying the heart of God. Don't quit. David didn't quit. He had every reason to quit. Every reason. But when he got down on his knees and made himself humble before the Lord, his mighty men says, we will go where you go. Watch this, because if you read this, then there comes a messenger that was fighting against Saul. And Saul needed someone to finish him off. Watch this. This is beautiful. Saul didn't want to be taken and to be displayed as a slave or a fallen king, so he fell upon his sword, but it didn't kill him, and he wanted the man to finish him off. So David looks at him and says, who are you? Well, I'm one of them. But because King Saul told me to do it, I did it. Here is the crown and his bracelet to prove it. Watch what David does. David turns to his warriors. Watch. Because of true humility, he says, kill him. Because of his humility, people were willing to do things for him. But David responds to this man that brings the crown and the bracelet, says, did you not have any fear of God to touch God's anointing? But yet you bring the crown and his bracelet and you put your sword to him? Now you shall suffer the same. And his men killed him. What was brought to him? His crown. Your place of elevation doesn't come just because you're in position. Because I'm standing firm. The crown comes to you because you started in the position. And when you start in that position of humility and in prayer going before God, that's when he raises you up. That's when he brings to you what is rightfully yours. Yes, you got to keep fighting when he says to fight. But you've got to go to him and say, is this the one that I should let die because you reject it? Or is this the one that I got to pursue after? When you go to God in that, he's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you what to do. Why is he going to tell you what to do? Because he has a plan and purpose for your life to give you hope for your future. A hope. You're not going to just leave you there. You have to learn to be humble. Learn to walk in humility. Learn to be able to be an instrument of God. Because when you learn how to be an instrument of God, you learn how to be used of God. Used in the timing of God, because sometimes it's not your time. You would think that David would become king and be anointed king in the courts. In the courts. But it didn't happen in the courts. It didn't even happen in the palace. It happened in the battle. It happened outside of the city. It happened in a place where there was nothing but ruins. And their past was burnt up. Are you willing to fight for what God said for you to fight for? Some of y'all are fighting for family members. And some that are in this room are fighting for themselves. Guess what? You're not fighting alone. You're fighting because God called you to a better place in Him. The Trinity works on your behalf. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The anointing, the covering, and the sword. Your anointing cannot be given to anybody. It can't be transferred. It can't be received. Because what's inside of you has been given to you by the Father above. No man can give you anything else. The prayer comes because you have to learn to pray. You have to learn to be under that covering. And you have to learn to let God use you. Your sword is learning the word of God and how to apply the word in your battle. Don't get mad when things go wrong, but yet you're not reciting the word against it. Where things aren't changing. They didn't say it was going to happen immediately. Never did. It's a process. In the process, because watch this. The apothecary, which are the ones that made the oil, every element has a process to make an oil. The covering, the ephod, had a process. So did the process of the sword. You're never going to negate the process. But the process is to bring you your promise. It'll bring you your promise. Don't give up on the fight. Because in reality, at times we do give up on God. Because we're tired of our circumstance. He doesn't give up on you. People give up on you. People write you off. And then people start to look at you and say, you're not even blessed. I don't want your God. Because your God leaves you broke. Your God leaves you in despair. Your God takes your job away from you, takes your husband away from you. Your God takes away. Has it seemed like people are looking at you and that's what's happened? Things are being taken away from you. Relationships have been stripped from you. Issues of your life, health has been stripped away from you. How about hope being stripped away from you? God is a God of hope. He's a God of restoration, and He's bringing it back to you. He's going to restore you like He restored those men at Ziklag and brought back what was rightfully theirs, even in the midst of nothing there for them to have hope. It took one person to encourage himself, which was David. Can we get a group of people that can encourage themselves to be the encouragement for others so that he can place in you what is rightfully yours? Rightfully yours. Can you put your right hand on her shoulder, please, Ms. Daniel?
Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak into her body right now in Jesus' mighty name. I speak the healing power of God over your body from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Do not fear. I steady the hand of death over your life. You fear it. You think you're coming near to it. And I'm here to tell you that the Lamb of God has said that you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. That everything that is taking place in your bloodstream and in your heart is going to be eradicated out of your body right now in Jesus' mighty name. I declare to you the power of the living God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you are going to be healed right now instantaneously as a miracle that you need right now. You came expecting to believe that you would be healed. As the power of God goes forth right now through the word of God, that you are healed, beloved, healed. And I open up the eye gates and let the scales be removed so you will see clearly and no longer be worried about the light, the brightness, nor have to worry about what's going on in your body. He is the healer that is alive today, and he's still healing today. By the stripes of Almighty God, upon the stripes on his back of Jesus Christ, he says in his word that you are already healed. I speak and declare unto you under the power of Almighty God that you are healed, beloved. You are healed. And the loss that took place in your life, I release the peace of God over your life right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're a blessing. 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 Let the power of Almighty God rest upon her right now. The gentle as a dove. Gentle as a dove. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now. I thank you for what you're doing, and I bless what you're doing, God. I thank you for the healing power of God in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. If you want to sit down? You need to sit down? You all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Play on, sir. Play on. David, get in that, man. Get in there. It don't matter. Just play. Be encouraged, people of God. Be encouraged. God is going to do what he said he is going to do. He said it, not you. He said it. He predestined it. Regardless, in spite of, because he's God. And if he said it, in spite of, some things have to end so there's a new beginning. And in the new beginning can be a new beginning in the other person's life. But something has to end so there can be a new beginning. And in this new beginning, you will see. It's been preordained, foreordained. For the move, the transfer, and for the growth. And it'll all line up together because God is in control. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are going to experience the wind of God. Some are going to experience the rain. Others are going to feel a hand that is going to raise you up in this season. My prayer is that you have an understanding that God is the one that does it all. He knows what you need and when you need it. That is the God that we serve that is alive. It's not dead, not in a grave. Many books have been written about other different gods, other different messiahs. Jesus even said in his word, the ones that have come before me were the thieves. Because a true shepherd lays down his life. That's a real sacrifice. A real sacrifice. Kim, something was taking place in your spirit during praise and worship, and I could feel it. You're not disqualified. You didn't shock God. He's waiting. So much that he wants you to offer to his people. see the wind is blowing in your direction. There's a fresh new start that is happening right now, and it started in your spirit. It's beginning to come from your spirit, man, and it's taking root. It's beginning to change a mindset to bring about a total restoration. Now let God do that. Let him do it. When it feels like it's just a little, because it gets that way. Stand firm. That's why I said stay close. Stay close. Stay close. You as well, beloved. I said it Wednesday night. Stay close. When you stay close, you can get connected. When you get connected, it just trickles down. The Bible says that when he anointed Aaron, he poured the oil over his head, that it even reached down to the lowest parts of his garments. In other words, the oil flows from the head down. And if you feel like you're just coming in now and you're at the very bottom, you're getting it too. You're getting it too. Your voice is about to be heard. Your voice. Your voice is about to be heard, beloved. Wisdom and knowledge inside of you that must be heard. I see you sitting in a group of women. It starts off small. You gather, you begin to speak, you begin to talk, you begin to study. But God begins to turn inside of you what has been there. It's been dormant for a season. It's been dormant, but it's getting ready to come forth. Thank you, Jesus. It's rising to the top because he's stirring the oil. He's stirring the oil. The goodness of God is beginning to come forth up, 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 and it's about to be released. Your voice is about to be heard, for what I have given you is insight and prophetic dreams. And in these dreams, I've given you directions. You shall speak what God has called you to speak. It's not just to a woman, but you think because man has put limitations. Women only speak to women. Beloved, you have a people that will follow you. I've called you to lead a people. You have a heart for God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. That the Spirit of Almighty God, as the wind of God has come to trouble the waters, to trouble the waters. I thank you for the healing that is taking place right now. You've been wounded in organized religion. You've been wounded in organized church. You've been wounded by positions of authority. And I'm here to release unto you your fullness of who you are in him. In Jesus' mighty name, every offense is broken off of your life. Broken off of your life. Even the ones that are still questioning if you're doing the right thing. I silence the voices now in Jesus' mighty name. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Father, you're worthy. You're worthy. We thank you for your oil. And we thank you for your covering, God. More importantly, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that it's not our righteousness, but it's your righteousness. Thank you that we have obtained the favor of God because of the righteousness of God that is in our life. I thank you. I bless what you're doing in this hour, God. And I bless what you've ordained for this day. You are truly Lord over our life. And we surrender to your will. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We seek your face. We pray unto the Lord. And we expect to hear from you, God. You are the yes, God. But we must learn how to hear your voice, hear your commands, and be obedient. Obedience is better than any sacrifice, but obedience is tied to sacrifice. God, I love you and I thank you. And I thank you for your love that you have for us. I thank you. know I met you when you first came in, sir. I'm bad with names. Forgive me. I'm working on it. As I was praying, I kept hearing a promotion for you. Promotion. That can be job. That can be spiritual. I don't know. A promotion. I'm not going to tell you anything else other than he said he's going to promote you. He's going to promote you. Whether you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I don't know either. But I do know you have favor that's on you. Favor. Things just happen for you when you don't even have to work at it real hard. It just happens. They fall in place for you. Other people, they struggle and struggle just to make one thing go right. Yours just fall in place. You have influence. The gift of influence has been bestowed upon you before you were ever born. Use it wisely. And I say that respectfully. Use it wisely. Know that God is going to use you to influence others, to better their life. For some reason, I see you instructing, teaching. Let God use you in that manner. But sometimes you think too much. And it gets in the way. Just know that God is doing that. It's going to get you further along. And then the area of your influence is going to grow. I see a gathering taking place with you. A gathering of people coming. A gathering. Your influence is growing. It's growing. And I don't know what kind of business you're desiring, but it's growing. It's growing. He loves you, man. Your family here, you're welcome anytime. Anytime. But more importantly, find a place of worship that you can go to, right? To learn. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Whew. Thank you, God. Do you love the sound of the guitar?